Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
Hebrews 9:27. For it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Every man, be he ready or unready, will meet death. It's an appointment. Now, I want to share some thoughts with you today about a subject we don't like to talk about, but a subject that we all ought to be prepared for. Death. First of all, in this passage of Scripture, I think we find this particular point, that death is a fact. Physical death is a fact. Now, the Bible talks about death, thanatos, separation, at least two different ways, and perhaps others. It talks about spiritual death, the separation of the soul from God. But it talks also of physical death, the separation of the body from the soul. In James chapter 2 and verse 26, it says, as the body is dead without the spirit, so faith without works is dead. Death is a fact. It's a reality. There are many people in our society, even in our United States and in our world, who hold that life, pain, suffering, and even death are not real. They're only figments of one's mind. Our Christian Science friends hold that physical pain and physical suffering are not real. They're only the figments of your imagination. And that, in fact, death is only mental. Well, I don't know about you, but I know enough about life that that's not true. Death is real, isn't it? And when someone that passes that we love and are concerned about and we feel the loss of, we're made more aware of the fact that death is a fact. It's a reality. It happens. When I think back upon my ministry, and it's really been relatively a short ministry, when I think of all the funerals that I've had a part in one little period of time of my ministry in 1969 to 72 in Alamo, Tennessee, it was my responsibility and opportunity to help over 38 families in funerals in 36 months. Death's real. I preached the funeral of those who were in their 90s, and I preached my very first funeral for a baby that was 6 months old, my own niece. It affects the old and it affects the young. It affects the male. It affects the female. It affects the fathers. It affects the mothers. It affects the children. Death strikes. It's a fact. It's a reality. It's there. We need to be aware of it. We can't hide from it. It affects the rich. It affects the poor. It affects those with silk and wool, Botany 500 suits, and it affects those with ragged, torn patches on their pants. Death is real. It's appointed unto die, unto men to die. Death is here because of sin. It's not a penalty for sin, but it is a consequence of Adam's sin initially. Adam sinned, you recall, and he was told that he was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When he did, the day that he ate thereof, he would die. I believe in the day that Adam ate, he died spiritually. He was separated from God. But in the process of separation from God, man died physically, in that the tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and God said, lest he eat of it and live forever, let us drive him out of the garden. And man was separated from the sustaining power of God's force in the tree of life, and thus was dying physically. Man suffered the loss of spiritual fellowship with God, death spiritually. And what he suffered in that, he will gain conditionally in Christ. He lost it conditionally because of his sin. He'll gain it conditionally when he accepts Christ. What he lost unconditionally in Adam, that is physical death, he had nothing to do with it, has nothing to do with it, he will also gain unconditionally in Christ. That is, God will raise every man from the dead. Every man will be raised. Some to punishment, some to blessedness. The fact of death is emphasized in this passage. Now, secondly, it seems to me almost alike, but slightly different, is the certainty of death. Death is certain. Just as surely as we live, we'll die. Just as surely as you and I live today, just that surely, we will die. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." We will keep this appointment. You know, in businesses and practices around our everyday activities, sometimes we'll set up an appointment and something happens that we can't keep that appointment. We say, well, we pick up the phone and say, "I'm sorry, I can't make it. I had an appointment on Wednesday and I couldn't make it." I had to call and say, "I can't make it. Couldn't make that appointment, but I'll tell you one I will make. And there's one that you'll make. It's certain." We are warned to be prepared. Be prepared because it's certain that you'll meet that appointment. Prepared or unprepared, we will meet it. My friends, do you realize that the casket is already built for some of us? You say, "I don't like to talk like that. I don't like to hear that." That's right. Are you prepared? It's a certainty. Even those who are alive when the Lord should come again, the Bible says, will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery, we all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Everyone will be in a different kind of body someday. Those of us who are here and will pass from this life before the Lord comes, will die. If the Lord comes before we pass, we'll be changed. But it'll be an incorruptible type of body. It'll not be that kind that we have today. Now, thirdly, the brevity of life is emphasized in this passage. When I think about death and when I think about someone being taken like this, I can't help but think about how brief life really is. The Bible pictures it frequently. Perhaps one of the most elusive pictures is found in Psalms 90. It says, "For 1,000 years is in thy sight are but as a yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, and they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth." And in verse 10, "The days of our years are 70, or even by reason of strength 80 years. Yet is their pride but labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone, we fly away." The Bible pictures life and its brevity in many different ways. One way is, as is pictured here, it's like a grass that's growing up, you know, and then when the fall comes and the winter comes, it dies. So brief. Beautiful? Yes. But the flowers come and the beauty of them, and then they're gone. You see, that's the way life is pictured in the Scriptures. "Our days are like a shadow," says the Chronicle. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15, "and it's like a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away." James 4 and verse 14. Or it's pictured in Job 7 and verse 6, "like a weaver's shuttle, so quick, and it's gone." Physical life is temporal. It's not permanent. Physical life is just a temporary thing in comparison to eternity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, or chapter 5, rather. I'll get it right in a minute. Chapter 4, verse 16. "Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is for the moment worketh for us more and more exceeding the eternal weight of glory. While we look at not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that we see, our bodies, our life, our friends, our families, are temporary things. You say, well, they're here for, we're going to have them forever. You know, we think that way sometimes. We know better. We know what the Bible teaches, but we begin to think, I'm going to live forever. My friends are going to be here forever. My family's going to be here forever. That's not true. And the problem is that we begin to think that we have a lease on life, that everything is going to go well with us, no problems are going to ever come, life is never going to end, everything is going to go on as it is. And that's just not true. We are deceiving ourselves, and the writers warn us that we must remember that life is but a sojourn. And like Abraham, not look at this temporary dwelling place, this temporary land, but rather a land whose builder and maker is God. And look with faith to that land, to that city, not to this land and to this city. The Christian has hope in death and has, even though life may be brief, has a joy that can be causes life to be filled with peace and comfort and strength, even though he knows he faces death in the future. The Christian has that. Others do not. I was just looking at a book yesterday on the Warren Mattson debate, and Mr. Mattson, at the very close of the book, talks about some questions that people ask him about what is his purpose in life? How does he look at the end of life? What is he going to do when he dies? What hope does he have? And he actually just admitted that I don't have any hope. I just live from day to day and no purposes, particularly except just to be try to make my family happy and try to be happy myself. And so forth, and it's just a very nebulous, no goal, purposeful life. Very depressing, to say the least. Now, I knew it was going to be that way. An atheist would have to have that kind of attitude toward life. Life is a sojourn. We must live it in faith. Since life is short, we should number our days. So teach us to number our days, that we may get us a heart of wisdom, said the psalmist in Psalm 90 and verse 12. It also, since life is short, should cause us to not neglect our salvation. You see, because you never know when life is going to end. Even the picture of hell, you see. We never would have expected that. I don't know how many people I had who came up to the lectureships, and I mentioned this to Sister Rona yesterday, how many people who knew Brother Rona who came up and said, I just can't believe he was always so healthy and so well. That's right, isn't it? Life is brief. It comes to an end. Remember, today is the day of salvation. God says, you be prepared today, are you? And then the brevity but the uncertainty of life is also pictured in this passage and in when we think about death. Death may come suddenly and unexpectedly. It is frail, like the grass, as we've shown a moment ago. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24, it says, like the grass raises up, you know, and then it goes away. It's gone. It vanishes like a vapor. It's here and it's gone for a little bit. It's so uncertain, so unstable. The picture is, the vapor here, the picture of the vapor is that it's just not only brevity, but also that it's uncertain. You don't know how long it's going to last. Sometimes it lasts longer than others. Death calls us in the middle of plans in Luke 12 and verse 20. You recall the man who had done well with his life, and he had prospered in such a great way with his crops and everything. And then God said to him in verse 20, thou foolish one, this night is thy soul required of thee, and the things which thou hast prepared, whose things shall these things be? See, this man had said, oh, I've done so well, and I'm just everything is going to go well with me now. But you see, life is uncertain. And he did not know that night his soul would be required of him. When we think about death, we must remember the uncertainty of life. Some lessons we need to learn from this, and these passages that I mentioned. First of all, the Word of God abides. It's a Word of God which we must build on. It's the Word of God that we must build our lives on. He said, even though life is like a grass, the Word of God abides forever. And in 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Then he goes on to say, because this world will pass away, but he that dwells with God shall live forever. We may love this present world, but this present world will not stand, and we will not be in it. The admonition is, let us make sure that we are living according to God's Word and His will, and we will live forever. In Matthew 7, 24 to 27, Jesus pictured this idea of building on God's Word and keeping His instructions and obeying His commandments and being obedient to His will when He says basically that the wise man is the man who builds his house upon the rock, and the winds come and the rains come and the storms of life come, and the rock and his house will stand firm. Why? Because it's built on the right foundation. It's built on the Word of God. But the foolish man is the man who builds on the sand. He does not build his life on the Word of God. And when the storms come and when the rains come and the wind blows, his house shall fall. Why? Because he built it on the wrong foundation. He built it on this world. He built it on the uncertainty of life. In 2 Peter 3, verse 18, Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must bring within us the Word of God and live and abide in it. And Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith to face death, and faith to face the death of others, even our own loved ones. In Acts 20, verse 28, Paul said, now I commend you unto God and the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those who are sanctified. The Word of God can do that. And God can strengthen us in the doing of it. And then secondly, we must acknowledge our dependency on God. Life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. Then what does he say? What we ought to say is, if the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. Let us be dependent upon God, and let us say, not just with verbs or words, but rather with life, that we're dependent upon God. We are, aren't we? How helpless we really are as individuals in this world. Have you thought about it, haven't you? You talk about helpless, hopeless. Have you been stuck in the snow lately? Unable to move? Feel helpless? 200 miles away, wanting to get home, can't? You ever feel helpless? In a room, waiting, longing, praying, desiring that something could be done to help. Helpless. Life is brief. We must acknowledge our dependency on God. And then we must live so as to prepare for eternity. This man who was so foolish in Luke 12, he says, and such are you, such is everyone who lays up for himself riches on the earth but is not rich toward God. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Doing that, one of these days, this life will be gone. And then fifth, after death comes a judgment. Just as surely as death is, just that surely the judgment will come. Just as surely as we'll pass in this life, just that surely we will be judged. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. We'll be judged. It'll be universal. It'll be all men. Every man shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things which he's done, according to what he's done, whether it be good, whether it be bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Romans chapter 14, where Paul said, every knee shall bow. There will not be one who will not be there. Every knee shall bow and confess. Now, some people say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. I'm not going to confess Him with my life. I'm not going to obey the gospel. I'm not going to live for Him. I'm not going to do what He wants me to do. You will confess Him one day. Are you listening? You'll be prepared or unprepared, but you'll be there. And you say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Doty. Well, the unbeliever will be there too. And he'll confess every need. Shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Are you prepared to do that? Is your life being lived in such a way that you're already confessing Jesus Christ, or will He deny you? What a shame. Won't that be a terrible shame? To stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have the Lord look out from that judgment seat and say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. But Jesus, you're Lord. Yes, but it's too late. This life is a veil of soul making. Are you being made in the image of Christ by compliance with His will? Or are you the rebellious one who rebels against His will? Jesus said, if you reject me, you reject the Father. And if you reject me and my sayings, there's one that shall judge you in the last day. The words that I speak shall judge you. John chapter 12 and verse 48. The words that Jesus spoke will judge us. That's the standard. It'll not be me, it'll not be you, it'll not be some men or counsel of men. It'll be what the Lord has spoken to us in His Word that will judge us. It'll not be my opinions, it'll not be your opinions, it'll not be your views or my views, it'll be the Lord and His spoken Word that'll judge us, won't it? Have you lived your life in compliance with them? Our lives will be measured by the Word of God. And there's so many passages that teach that I'm just going to say it. And I hope that you know that I've not... I mentioned several already that indicate that. We will spend eternity someplace. Jesus said that those who are on the right hand will receive eternal life. Those who are on the left will receive eternal punishment. You'll spend eternity someplace. Brother Bradfield used to say, where will you be 1,000,000 years from today? But let me ask you, where will you be 100 years from today? That ought to cause you to think a little bit. Young people, you think you've got a lease on life. Everything's going well. Listen, do you know it's been my sad responsibility to preach the funeral of some young boys? A 15-year-old boy, strapping, 6'1", 190-pound boy. I loved him like a son, but he drowned playing with his friends in a river. He was a Christian. A boy, 19 years old, going to school, going to be an engineer, fine young boy as far as we knew, mother and father, members of the church at Alamo, fine on Saturday night, fine on Friday night, dead on Saturday morning. How? Automobile accident. So, that won't happen to me. Yes, it might. You see, because of the facts that we've talked about today, you must be prepared. You don't know when death will come, do you? The last point I want to make is this. Even though these sad things are true about death and life, and even though life is a fact, or death is a fact, and it's uncertain, and that it's reality, and that it's life is brief, and so forth, the Bible teaches that Christ provides hope even in death. That Jesus Christ, according to 1 Timothy, has put to death or has taken away, abolished death, and brought to light life and immortality. He said, well, He hasn't abolished it enough. We still die. He abolished it as much as He could. He gave us hope even in death. We will be raised. The promise is resurrection from the dead. But because Jesus was raised and overcame death and the throngs of death, we too can overcome death. You believe that? That's our hope. The hope that we shall receive as He received the resurrection which He promises. That as we've pointed out in 1 Corinthians 15, that death may be esteemed, but in Christ Jesus death can be victory. And Paul could say, oh yes, it's good for Christ that I'm here with you, but it's better for me, it's great gain for me to die and be with the Lord. Heaven, immortality, life, eternal life is promised, and we have the hope of that in Christ Jesus. He has provided a release from the fear of death. As the great shepherd, the good shepherd, As pictured in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." And Jesus is pictured in the New Testament in John 10 as the greatest shepherd. He's able to protect us and help us and encourage us, even in those times of terrible fear, perhaps, and discouragement. The Bible is filled with the idea that we as Christians have no real fear in death. This cause Christ has overcome it. Our problem is that we are somewhat selfish. We don't want to lose a loved one. We'd rather not. But we will. But the hope is in Christ. That even though we lose a loved one, we shall be with them. We prepare, they're prepared, we will be together. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they shall rest from their labors and in the works to follow them. Blessedness, even in death. Life is short and it's uncertain. Death is certain. It is a universal fact. All will die or be changed at the last trump. Where do you want to spend eternity? Where do you want to spend eternity? A Christian believes and trusts in God and His Word sufficiently enough that he's willing to let Him save him his way and then live faithfully so that one day they may experience the joys of heaven, the promise of God.